The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. A few weeks ago, I found myself standing in line at the local Walmart, holding a few items I needed to purchase in my hands. I was the third person in line from the register. Directly in front of me, in line, was a man perhaps in his mid-30s with a cart full of groceries. He was wearing a chain around his neck that dangled across. At the register, still in the process of placing her groceries on the moving belt, was a young woman with one child in her cart and one child in her arms. When it came time for her to pay her bill, she found that she was about $20 short of what she needed. So it was time to make that embarrassing decision as to what items she would or would not be taking home for her family. She looked like she was on the verge of tears. Witnessing this, the man in front of me offered the money to allow her to purchase all of the groceries she wanted. She said something about being a single mom. She said something about hard times. She accepted the money. She, with child in arm, briefly hugged the stranger, and then the tears dripped out. I wonder what lasting effect this kindness might have on the woman. Also, I wonder, was this simply an act of personal generosity? Or was this an action by a man who had not only witnessed a need, but was also witnessing to something more mystical than himself that he had seen or heard? And what might that be? Frederick Buechner, a theologian, writes in Wishful Thinking, "Mysticism is where religions start. Moses with his flocks in Midian, Buddha under the bow tree, Jesus up on his knees in the waters of the Jordan. Each of them is responding to something of which words like shalom, oneness, God even, are only pallid souvenirs. Religion as ethics, institutions, dogma, ritual, scripture, social action, all of this comes later, and in the long run maybe counts for less. Religions start, as Frost said poems do, with a lump in the throat, to put it mildly, or with a bush going up in flames, a dove coming down from the sky. I have seen things," Aquinas told a friend, "that make my writing seem like straw." Most people have also seen such things. Through some moment of beauty or pain, some sudden turning of their lives, most of them have caught glimmers, at least, of what the saints have been blinded by. Only then, unlike the saints, they tend to go on as if nothing has happened. Our gospel reading begins today with the words, "Now when Jesus heard." What Jesus heard came from the mouths of the disciples of John the Baptist, who informed Jesus that John had been unceremoniously executed by Herod while he was in prison. Thus, Jesus withdraws from the towns beyond the immediate reach of Herod to a deserted place. But hearing this, the crowds follow him, and Jesus, out of compassion, heals some of the sick among them. As evening approaches, Jesus' disciples become concerned that the crowd needs to be fed. And so they encourage Jesus to send the people into the villages to buy food for themselves. And Jesus says to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." The unreasonableness of the task is not lost on the disciples, since they have only 5 loaves and 2 fish to share among well over 5,000 people. And they tell Jesus so. So Jesus told the crowd to be seated, took the loaves and fish, blessed them, looked up to heaven, and gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. And all ate their fill. Now, this miracle of feeding is not a matter of Jesus getting the ball rolling and everyone else present joining in and sharing what they happen to have with them. That would be to diminish the miracle, this act of God. That would be to point to people, not to God. This act, this miracle, is simply a gracious work of Jesus. Where people come in is with the abundance that is left. And I find it rather interesting that after Jesus abundantly provides for the crowds, we are not told what happened to the surplus, except that they took up what was left over, 12 baskets full. One might just have a glimmer of hope that it was then distributed to others who might be desperately in need of something to eat. Mark Buchanan, an author and associate professor of pastoral theology, tells the story of a friend who organized a dinner at his church to raise money for famine relief in Sudan. I have to admit, I would never arrange a dinner like this one. About 80 people signed up and showed up. He had tables set for various groups, as small as 6, as large as 15. People came in and took their seats at random. Then servers came out. The smallest tables were served first. They received an abundance of rich, sauce-laden food, hot, tender, tasty food. Their servers were polite. They were attentive, quick to bring more food at the slightest indication that people were running low. They were quick at the bidding and usually anticipated the wishes of the people at those small tables. Next, some of the largest tables were served. Theirs was a sparse, messy blend of various foods. The few dishes that were brought out in no particular order, and there weren't going to be any seconds. Now, two of the largest tables were served almost last. After the few guests at the first tables had already had all they could eat, and their dinner plates piled with uneaten food were whisked away and replaced with rich desserts and coffee. At these two of the largest tables, the servers plunked down with rude haste, 1 bowl of rice in the middle of each table. No one got a plate. No one got a bowl. There weren't any utensils for people to eat or to serve. The servers never came back. The very, very largest table was served last of all. They got a bucket of water. There was barely enough to go around. The water was brown, and it was lukewarm. If you wanted some, you had to drink it from the wooden ladle that was passed along with the bucket. Who likes to drink from a wooden ladle, brown water? Most people, of course, didn't bother. At first, the people at the largest tables, the last ones served, complained. Several people got up. They spoke with the servers, and the servers ignored them. Some went to the organizer. He ignored them. He and the servers paid attention only to the guests who sat at the smallest tables and who had received the most. The servers would come around often to make sure everything was all right, was well-pleasing and agreeable. There was much laughter, banter, politeness at these small tables. After a while, it became obvious to everyone what was happening. The church was being given a taste of how the world really works. Its lopsidedness, its patchy rhythm of muchness and emptiness, of affluence and desolation. Some got to experience and all got to witness the hunger of the hungry. The offering that night went for famine relief. It was a good night overall. Now, I don't know how much the offering was that night, but as generous as it was, surely there are those who will think that it was insignificant if one considers the magnitude of world hunger today. According to estimates of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, at the end of last year, there were 828 million hungry people in the world. 828 million. This number represents an increase of approximately 150 million people since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. 9 million die each year simply because they lack bread and fish. This obscenity will only grow with the impacts of the war in Ukraine on food costs and availability, and one of the worst droughts in 40 years in the Horn of Africa. Thus, it is imperative that as we hear the story of Jesus feeding the multitude, we not miss the broken pieces that were left over. Enough to fill 12 baskets, because what we need to be well satisfied is only a portion of what God provides for God's people in this world. And we are the ones tasked with the job to see to it that it is distributed with a measure of parity. That means that the men of this world should not be eating more food than the women of this world. Children should not be wasting. The causes of poverty should be addressed. Food should not be used as a weapon of war, and so on. It is not just that we are to be generous in our giving of what we consider our extra resources, what is left over. It is that we are to live out of the miracle of our Lord's abundanceness, the love and mercy in all areas of life, not just in financial areas, but in the way we talk with other people, think about other people, how we live our lives. Jesus' feeding of the multitude is not meant to lead to our generosity, but rather blind us by the light of the miracle of God's graciousness and be forever changed by it. Few of us go through life without encountering possible life-changing moments. Only rarely are these events as dramatic as Jesus' feeding of the multitude. More often, our critical moments involve the regular trials and transitions of life. Recovery from some severe illness or life-threatening procedure. Forgiveness when we do not merit it. An unexpected offer of our dream job after losing our source of income because of a pandemic. Having a stranger pay a portion of our grocery bill at the last possible moment. Most people have experienced such things through some moment of beauty or pain, some sudden turning of our lives, most of us have caught glimmers, at least, of what the saints have been blinded by. And people of faith tend to see God's hands at work in the midst of such and have their faith encouraged in ways that do not forget that something has happened, but live on in godly thoughts, words, and deeds. I suspect that most people will see in the act of a man wearing a chain around his neck that dangled across, helping a single mom in a Walmart store in her moment of need, an act of personal generosity. But I wonder if that cross reminds this man of the water and word that led to a cross being placed on his forehead some days past. I wonder if he acted as he did because he believes that all that he has in this world comes from God. I wonder if he devoutly receives the bread and wine, the abundance of God's grace, love, and mercy given and shed for him and for us on a regular basis. I wonder if at times God's little miracles appear too common for us to remember? Or are we amazed into faith and blinded into action by the very light of them? Amen.